This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. If you're in the mood for a series of concerts ranging from Indian classical music to New Orleans roots music, it's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. I'm your host, Diane Mack. An evening of Indian classical music gets underway tomorrow night as the Indian Arts Circle of New Orleans presents the Ravi Shankar Quartet. The concert is billed as a journey into the realm of Shankar's music by his senior disciples. Joining me are spokeswomen Urmila Kamath and Jayashree Rao. Welcome back.
Thank you, Diane.
Just hearing Ravi Shankar's name brings back some wonderful musical memories. Tell us a little bit about his legacy.
This is Jayashree. Ravi Shankar, as you know, is the most well-known Indian classical musician. He was the one that introduced many people in the West to Indian music. Even though he was trained as a classical musician, he was able to travel to the West very early in his life as part of a troupe of his brother Uday Shankar, who is a dancer choreographer. So at the age of, I believe, 10 or so, he was performing with his brother. And his guru, Alauddin Khan, was the musician for this troupe. And he enjoyed the music so much, he was taking lessons from him. So he became the disciple of Alauddin Khan in India. He studied with him in the usual traditional Gurukul system, which means he stayed with him for like 8 to 9 years. And after that, he started to perform. Interestingly, Alauddin Khan's son is also a musician of great renown. So they both performed, and Ravi Shankar ended up marrying Alauddin Khan's daughter.
I knew you would have a story. And the quartet today, the Ravi Shankar Quartet, is keeping that music alive for new generations. Tell us about the quartet. Who are the members?
This is Urmila. We have four of his senior disciples playing in this quartet. Gaurav Mazumdar will be on the sitar. He has also performed with Philip Glass. Barry Phillips is the cellist. He won a Grammy. Ashwini Shankar will be on the shehnai and Arup Chattopadhyay on the tabla. This group has been put together just to present classical and semi-classical compositions of Ravi Shankar.
And what will unfold as they journey into Shankar's life's work?
In this performance, we will hear not just the classical music, but also the semi-classical or the folk music. These are shorter segments, and I'm really interested to see how the cello and the shehnai and the tabla form pieces of music. Even though they start with an idea, there's a lot of improvisation. So this improvisation will also involve the Western classical notations. So it's going to be a combination of East and West. A lot of Ravi Shankar's music was a combination of West and East. He has collaborated with Yehudi Menuhin, then Andrew Praveen with the London Philharmonic, as well as Zubin Mehta, and also pop musicians, most famously George Harrison. So he brings out all of these elements of Western classical music, jazz music, and other genres into his. And the performers also mentioned that they will be picking out some music from the movie. Ravi Shankar collaborated on many different movies. The most famous is, of course, Satyajit Ray's Appu trilogy. Also, the movie for Gandhi, the movie for Charlie. So many of the Western movies also he has done the score. So it'll be interesting not just to see how they put it all together, but also how do they do with the Eastern and the Western samples as well.
This sounds like it's going to be quite a treat.
We are excited.
Does one have to be familiar with classical Indian music or the sitar to enjoy this concert?
I don't believe so. This music is generally spiritual, and it creates a mood that we all enjoy. There's this one story about Ravi Shankar at, I think it was the Monterey Festival in the 60s. Nobody had heard Indian classical music before. And the audience applauded really loudly because I think they did not have a clue on whether he had started playing or what he was doing. So Ravi Shankar famously said he was just tuning his instrument. Wait till you hear me play.
Wow.
Irmala Kamath and Jayashree Rao with the Indian Arts Circle of New Orleans. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you, Diane.
The Ravi Shankar Quartet will perform tomorrow night at 7:30 in Loyola University's Roussel Hall. Tickets are available at the door. Bluesman and roots guitarist Mark Stone is gearing up for a star-studded birthday concert. The longtime WWOZ radio host, a New Yorker who has adopted New Orleans as his musical home, is celebrating a new music project and reintroducing singer-songwriter Alana Davis to the city's music scene. Mark, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Diane. Good to be here.
To say you have been busy would be an understatement. Congratulations on your latest release, Live in Europe. Tell us about the album.
I have a band comprised of Terry Scott Jr. from here in Louisiana, Christoph Weibel from H&M's Austria, who's been my touring partner for many years in Europe, and bassist Lorenzo Mookie Wilson, who's originally from New York and was a member of a band called the Crown Heights Affair in the 70s. It was a kind of proto-disco funk band out of New York that had a bunch of success, and he's since moved to Zurich. So the four of us tour as a band over there, and we had a pretty wild night of music that Christoph was wise enough to capture in a mixable format. So we put all that together, and I also was inspired to write this tune called Digitized, which comments on our obsession with all of our digital devices and media and how we get lost in that and how the powers that be or the powers that aspire to be might misuse that to their advantage and our detriment. That's a studio recording that we released as part of the live album. But we did that here in New Orleans with Alvin Youngblood Hart and Papa Molly, Mike Dillon, the great bassist Richard Moten, Terry Scott Jr. from my band, and Marilyn Barberin from the New Soul Finders, and Deanna Bernard all came in. And we went to Rick Nelson's Marini Studios and created the track, and Keith Hoffman from Comfy Stone Films captured a lot of the actual recording sessions and then helped me create the video that we released as part of it.
So, Digitized is one of several projects. Let's talk about the birthday bash, because that's another project for you.
On Friday at DBA at 10 o'clock, I'm going to have my annual birthday gig there, and we'll have my band with special guests, the great John Mooney on slide guitar, Kirk Joseph from the Dirty Dozen on sousaphone, my friend Alana Davis, who I grew up with in New York, who's a fantastic singer-songwriter who we'll be performing with on her own show the next night. And the new project in there for the Friday night show is something that I put together with Micah McKee and Darcy Malone, who are both great songwriters and vocalists and front people for their own bands. Darcy has Darcy Malone and The Tangle. Micah McKee has Little Maker. I've worked with both of them in various special projects. So we decided to get together and explore some of our newer original music that we hadn't really folded into our band repertoires yet, and a couple of choice covers, stuff that would be outside the seams a little bit of what you're used to seeing any one of us doing individually. The energy in there gets so high, and we have so much fun. We kind of play till we drop. It's always a really, really good time, and always some surprises.
And speaking of a wild and crazy night, you brought in a cut from the new album. I believe it's called I'm a Rock.
Yeah, that's been in my repertoire for a while. That was originally recorded for my first full-length release in 2010 called Trickeration Rascality.
Sometimes you got to travel far to find out who your real friends are.
But live, we stretch it out, and it's got some extra funk and fire to it.
It really reminded me of Jimi Hendrix.
That is about the highest praise you could give me, and I'm certainly a huge Hendrix fan and enjoyed a lot of his music extensively. So if that came through to you, then I'm very grateful.
It did. Now, there's a third project, Busy Man here. You are presenting singer-songwriter, as you mentioned, Alana Davis, in a standalone concert.
Yes, on Saturday the 31st at Little Gem. It'll be her first full concert of her own in New Orleans since 1998. And for people who don't know Alana, her parents were both great jazz musicians in New York. Her father was the great bebop and hard bop pianist Walter Davis Jr. He passed right before I met Alana, so I didn't get to meet him or see him. And then her mother, Anna Schofield, recorded under the stylized name Anna Mari for the Atlantic Jazz label in 1964. And Alana was kind of that person. You know, I grew up around a lot of aspiring musicians, and she was the one that had all the talent and none of the desire to do anything with it. Just kind of sat on her mom's couch nursing this incredible voice. And then after I moved to New Orleans, she did one songwriting demo for another artist at their request. The demo got shopped and the phone rang and said, "Hi, we're Elektra Records." And the next thing you know, she put out an album, her debut, Blame It On Me, in 1997, that was picked the top three album, I think, of the year by Time Magazine, got a Grammy nomination, and she had a couple of hit singles in the charts and was all over MTV. And that was around the time that our paths diverged because we were both touring a lot and we just lost touch. And then she left New York after 9/11. And Alana split the scene almost 15 years ago. She put out her last record in 2005 and moved to Jamaica and got married and had a kid and has been leading, you know, a normal, non-crazy music business life and is just coming back into the music world. Her new album will be out in May, so we'll be playing stuff from that.
Just like a hurricane, you're a force I can't explain, and everything just bends to your will. And I know this may be wrong, but the pull is just so strong, and I wanna know how you would feel if I told you I've been thinking for a minute. Every daydream has you in it these days.
And it's the first time she's going to work with New Orleans musicians. It's going to be nice to put her in a situation that won't necessarily be a jazz situation, but be a little bit more open to conversational type playing and improvisation. I think it'll give her room to open up her voice and expression in a way that she hasn't always been able to.
So when and where are the concerts?
Friday, March 30th, we'll be at DBA for my birthday show with the Mark Stone Band, John Mooney, Kirk Joseph, Alana Davis, and the new project that we're calling Yeah, with Mike and McKee, Darcy Malone, and myself. And then on Saturday the 31st, Alana Davis in concert with the Mark Stone Band and Delphi Marsalis and Reggie Scanlon from the Radiators. That'll be 7 p.m. doors and 8 p.m. show at Little Gem, and you can get tickets on their website. LittleGemSaloon.com. DBA, you walk right up, pay your cover, come on in and dance.
Mark, happy birthday and much continued success to you.
Diane, thank you so much. Always a pleasure to be here.
Keep the parts at work and toss the rest. But we tend to repeat ourselves, so the next new someone else is a lot like the last one we left.
You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNN, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. The Music Box Village, a unique performance venue off the beaten path in the city's Ninth Ward, will be fertile ground for female composers and artists as New Orleans Airlift presents From These Roots. It's a musical journey featuring a spectacular cast of New Orleans musicians in celebration of women's strength, resilience, and new beginnings. Event producer Leah Hennessy joins us. Welcome to Inside the Arts.
Thank you so much for having me, Diane. Glad to be here.
This sounds like quite a treat. Let's begin with the performance venue itself. Is the Music Box Village actually an art installation?
It's an art installation, it's a sound installation, and it's a performance venue as well. So I like to tell folks that we are open every Friday and Saturday throughout the spring and the fall. But what you might experience is different depending on what day you might come to see us. So on Saturday, March 31st, you'll see two performances of From These Roots. And the day before, you'll experience public hours, which is time to come and actually explore the sonic installation and play on it. It's almost like a special playground of sorts. And then the musicians use it as instruments during the shows.
Wow. Describe the vision for this unique arts venture.
The Music Box Village was formed under the idea of musical architecture. My colleagues, Jay Pennington, Delaney Martin, Taylor Shepherd, and international installation artist Swoon, developed the first Music Box Village in 2011 in Jay's backyard from a crumbling Creole cottage. The idea being that here in New Orleans, music pours out of houses, you're listening to it played on porches, you're hearing it roll down the street in the form of a second line. The whole city is musical. So our houses can be musical as well. And each of the music boxes or musical homes in the installation draw upon a certain architectural feature and make it musical. For example, there's a house with sliding doors that becomes a sliding bass with a string up at the top. There is one with fans that have pipes on top that whir and sort of make a whooshing sound, kind of drawn from the fact that here in New Orleans, every house has ceiling fans. So there are these architectural elements that are then played with and made musical.
Now, how did this show of female composers come about? This is the first in a new series for you?
Yes. We are taking time out now to intentionally create space for female artists to create new work in our musical installation. It was born out of a piece that we created for Prospect 4 back in November called Remember Us. And that was sort of about the unsung women in New Orleans musical history and the undersung roles that women play throughout the course of their lives as mothers and daughters and teachers. This takes that idea, moves it forward as a celebration of the incredible female talent we have in the city.
Now, you call it From These Roots. How did you come to that title for the show?
Well, our show takes spring as its central metaphor. We're looking at the way that things are starting to grow again after a hard frost and how that can be a metaphor for devastation in our lives, for periods where not only women, but all people need to dig deep within themselves, perhaps grow new roots, branch out to new communities for strength, and undergo some growing pains before ultimately flourishing. So the show takes you on that in a musical journey. Each of the women in the show play a role in that stage of going from tragedy to triumph.
Who are the artists?
We are fortunate enough to have with us Tiff Teddy Lamson, who is known for being in the band Givers, but also plays all around town. She's a Lafayette musician who plays drums, she plays keys, she plays guitar. She really does it all. She's our musical director on the project. We'll also have Helen Gillet, Aurora Nealon, Layla McCalla, who is known for her work with the Carolina Chocolate Drops, and her sister, Sabine McCalla, who is an up-and-comer here on the scene. We'll have Joy Clark, another up-and-comer blues jazz guitarist, and Mashiya Lake will be joining us. Such an incredible cast of talent.
Now, you mentioned Sabine McCalla. Tell us a little bit about her, and I see you brought some music there.
Sabine comes out of the gospel and doo-wop tradition, and this tune is called I Went to the Levee.
I went to the levee, I was gonna meet my man. A little boy stopped me with a gun in his hand. I thought I had a date, but I guess I changed plans. I'm crying for in my mind.
It's bluesy, it's mournful, and it'll be featured in the part of the program that is the first movement, the devastation and the loss that then leads to the rebirth. These women are coming together to perform their original music, but to share it with one another as well. They'll be accompanying one another on conventional instruments as well as the musical houses. Tiff Lamson and Aurora Neeland are coming together to write a whole new piece of music that will be the theme and revisited throughout the course of the hour-long program.
Now, the Music Box Village is a little off the beaten path. How do we find it, and what do we need to know before coming to the venue?
We are located at the very edge of the Upper Ninth Ward. If you cross the bridge, you've gone too far. We're just off Poland on North Rampart Street. There is parking on site, though we do encourage folks to bike or carpool. It's an outdoor venue. There's space for blankets. Festival seating is permitted. We provide bleachers and benches for seating.
How are you hoping audiences will be touched by this musical experience?
I'm hoping that our show will be a celebratory moment in what has been an incredible year for women, not only in our country, but in our city. As you know, the Me Too movement swept the country back in the fall, putting women's issues right up front. And here in New Orleans, we have our first female mayor, who is also a person of color, LaToya Cantrell, and that's an incredibly exciting thing for us here. I really look forward to seeing where she's going to take our city. So this is our contribution to lift up those female artists who we think can be leaders as well with their creative voices.
Event producer Leah Hennessy, thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
New Orleans Airlift presents From These Roots, Saturday evening with two performances, 6:30 and 8:30 at the Music Box Village, 4557 Rampart Street. That's our show for this week. Support for Inside the Arts comes from the Hellas Foundation. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at WWNO.org. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette on Tuesdays at 1 p.m., Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., and a shortened edition on Thursday mornings at 8:45 when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.